And welcome back in Morning Blitz. Boji Wood with you from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta, Georgia. We got Mike Bernard from OTM Sports still with us. We're talking NCAA college football playoffs. Mike, our Final Four, of course, was set this past Saturday. Notre Dame, much like Alabama, was able to do last year. They sat at home and got in. However, unlike Alabama last year, Notre Dame pretty much knew that, yeah, we may drop to four, but at 12-0, we're going to be in here somewhere.
Yeah, they knew they were going to get in. And, you know, when you're 12-0, you got you're the most iconic football program in history. You're not going to get left out.
I agree with that. And we've got Clemson taking on Notre Dame, and that's going to be a 4 p.m. Eastern kick from Jerry's World, and that is on December the 29th. Mike, this game, to me, you and I both have so much respect for Brent Venables and that Tiger defense. And, I've got a postgraduate certificate from Notre Dame. I love Notre Dame. If you've never been on the campus of Notre Dame, you go up there, you know it's a special place. And if you're a true college football fan, you need to make that trip sometime in your life and walk those grounds on a Saturday afternoon, because it is a special, special place. However, I just don't see them being able to take care of this Clemson Tiger team.
No, I think Clemson's the most complete team. They have the best defense of the four teams, and then their offense is more than capable when you look at what they can do. And I know you can compare. Let's take a look at Notre Dame versus Syracuse and Notre Dame versus Pitt. So Notre Dame, they destroy Syracuse, and they barely beat Pitt by 5. So you look at Clemson, they barely get by Syracuse when Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, but they were struggling even while he was healthy in that game. And then they destroy Pitt. So you can't use head-to-head that much here, but just looking at Clemson, they can snowball you. And if Notre Dame, if they can't run the ball against that defensive front, I think it's going to be a long night. But again, we're talking 4 weeks away, so I'm not going to corner myself, because there's a lot of things that can happen as far as handicapping these games. You've got coaches, assistant coaches that might take head jobs and leave. We've seen that in the past. We've got players with injuries that are having surgeries, and players get hurt in practice. But I agree with you. On paper, Clemson is an 11.5-point favorite, and it's the first time in the 5 years that both semifinal games have double-digit favorites.
Mike, this Notre Dame, I think they are so much better than they were in 2012. And you're talking about Clemson being able to snowball Notre Dame. You know, that's really not what happened versus Notre Dame in 2012. Even Brian Kelly says, look, we weren't on the level of Alabama in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, he said, so we were a good football team, but Alabama was a lot better. He said, this year we're a better football team than we were in 2012. I totally get that. I believe that there are no superstars other than, you know, Ian Book, just because he made the transition into starting quarterback 3 games into the year. You know, that's really the only big name that you hear out of Notre Dame. And again, no disrespect to Ian Book, but, you know, it's not like he's a Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa or a Trevor Lawrence.
No, that's right. And going back to that 2012 game, I remember I was at the game, but I remember watching the replay. And prior to the game, prior to kickoff, they interview both coaches. And Brian Kelly says, look, we got to stop them at the point of attack. We can't have their big backs get on our safeties. He knew. Mm-hmm. He knew that if the Alabama's big backs got past that initial line, they were in trouble. This Notre Dame team is much better than that 2012 team, but I'm not so sure that this Clemson team isn't better than that 2012 Alabama team.
I'm in agreement with you there. I think Trevor Lawrence has brought a different dimension. He does not have the feet that Kelly Bryant has, but he has something that Kelly Bryant was never going to have as quarterback at Clemson or anywhere else. that cannon of an arm. This is kid, I cannot believe that this time last year I was watching this kid play high school football. He makes throws that fifth-year seniors don't make that are going on to be a first-round draft choice in the NFL. Mike, as ludicrous as this sounds, I think if Trevor Lawrence were eligible for the NFL draft this year, I think he'd be taken in the first round.
Yeah, but off of potential alone, but not just potential. It's also what he's done, because he's played against great defenses. Another thing to point out is we talk about, you know, how the SEC has played for the title 13 straight years. Well, a lot of that is just fortuitous, and other teams have to lose to get them in. But one thing that's a little bit fortunate here for maybe each of these teams is that a lot of times Clemson and Notre Dame play in the regular season because Notre Dame's a part of that ACC rotation. So it's fortunate this year they didn't play in the regular season.
Yeah, and the last time that these two teams played was a monsoon up in Clemson just a few years ago, and that game came down to a failed two-point conversion on part of the Irish.
It did, and I think Dabo alluded to that, said, hey, we don't have to worry about a hurricane this time, so it's – you know, it's I'm looking forward to both semifinal games. Again, it's not going to diminish in any way for me the desire to watch the games, because both of them are double-digit favorites.
All right, moving on to the other semifinal game. That's going to be number one, Alabama. Number four, Oklahoma. That's going to be down. We're speaking of the 2012 champions, and that game was played in January of 13. Down at, but it was it Hard Rock Stadium then? You were at the game. Was it Hard Rock Stadium then, or whatever? Or I think it started out as Joe Robbie, and then it was Blockbuster. Yeah. I mean, it's been about nine different names, but wherever
Sun Life or I don't know.
Where Sun Trust or something like that, or Sun Life, wherever the Miami Dolphins plays. Yeah, the Dolphin Stadium. That's where this game is going to take place, and to me, this game, and I've told you this off the air, I think if I haven't mentioned it to you on the air, I am getting ready to now, and I've mentioned it on plenty of other radio shows that I have done, is this game right here to me, this is like old-time Rick Pitino Providence College basketball. Oklahoma's going to come out and say, listen, we know our defense is, you know, if we hold you to 50, we're going to be happy. But we're going to outscore you. We're going to come out, and we're just going to try to maximize our possessions and score on every possession, and hopefully our defense gets a stop, or hopefully your possession ends at the end of the half, and you don't get a score out of it, and we beat you by one. It wouldn't surprise me with a healthy Tua Tagovailoa and a healthy Kyler Murray, it wouldn't surprise me if this game ends up 108 to 107.
The total 79. Alabama's never had a total that high. And look, I think it's going to be a shootout. And I know that may sound, you know, obvious, but I would usually see these type of situations and say, well, Oklahoma's defense, they have great athletes. Their defense isn't as bad as their numbers because the offense puts them on the field all the time. And they frankly don't. All they have to do is hold people to less than 40, sometimes less than 50. Mm-hmm. Alabama's defense, I said it before many times, it's not to knock this year's defense, but simply if you compare this 2018 defense to the last 10 Saban defenses, it's not better than any of those previous 10.
I'm totally agreement with you there, Mike. One thing that I saw Saturday here in Atlanta was the fact that when Georgia was going at a good pace, this Alabama defense seemed to get a little tired. You had defensive linemen taking themselves out of the game, something that we haven't seen in the past from Alabama. But the reason we haven't seen it is those defenses were so dominant that they never got tired, because most of their possessions were three and out, or maybe even two and out with a turnover. But you saw the Alabama's defense the first time in many, many years. You saw Alabama's defense show fatigue in that national championship game versus Clemson, because everyone talks about that, oh, well, offensively we didn't do this, offensively we didn't do that. Let me tell you something. When Jalen Hurts, when he came off the field that night in Tampa, He had the lead. All the defense had to do was get one stop. Alabama's national champions. But that defense had played so many snaps. They were fatigued. And it went – and of course, Deshaun Watson took the Tigers down the field, threw the little pick pass to Renfro, touchdown Clemson, national championship Tigers. And I think that's the kind of game that Oklahoma wants to get in with Alabama, where it's a high-paced game and they are doing everything they can to maximize the number of snaps that that Alabama defense has to play.
No question. The game has changed. It's, you know, you go back and look to those Alabama-Clemson games, all three of them. Well, the last one, the semifinal game wasn't, but the first two, they were shootouts, 45 to 40, I believe, 34 to 31. And those were great, outstanding Alabama defenses, much better than this year's team. As to the fatigue, Coach, remember, most of Alabama games are over at half or the third quarter this year. They beat every opponent by 22 or more points, so a lot of the starters didn't have to play a full four quarters. I think conditioning plays a factor in that. And, hey, they're about to see rocket pace. Mm-hmm. And I think the way Alabama's going to have to beat Oklahoma is they're going to have to try to keep Oklahoma's offense off the all on the sideline. And they're going to have to, if their defensive front can do it, is blow Oklahoma up through the middle and then have a spy on Kyler Murray. And then, but let me tell you, there's not a spy fast enough to keep to watch that kid.
No. Putting a spy on Kyler Murray is like trying to follow a mosquito in the desert. It just is not, it's not going to happen. One thing you mentioned, the pace that this Oklahoma team plays by. Since Gus Malzahn came into the SEC back as offensive coordinator back in 2009, the whole conference has sort of looked at his offense. Oh, he plays so fast, plays so fast. Gus Malzahn's pace looks like a grandmama in a rocking chair on the front porch compared to Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma, you can tell. And the other thing is, as you and I have talked many times, you can't duplicate or replicate that in practice, meaning Alabama's defense. Alabama can go fast, but they can't go Oklahoma fast or Oregon fast when Chip Kelly was there. It's just a different speed, and you can't – I mean, maybe you can take your fastest receiver and have him play Kyler Murray, but he might not have the shiftiness. He might run a 4-3 like Murray, but he's not going to – it's not going to get you the same type of situation.
Earlier, when we were talking, Mike, you mentioned about the different scenarios that could happen with assistant coaches and everything. That's kind of been a common trend for Alabama. Clemson, Brent Venables, was approached about a couple of head coaching jobs. He basically said thanks, but no thanks. No one on the Notre Dame staff right now is being considered for any head coaching job. Same thing at Oklahoma. However, again, schools seem to be coming in and raiding Nick Saban's staff, especially offensively. Mike Locksley, a former head coach at New Mexico, and by no way to get around it, it was an atrocious experience out there for him. I never thought Locks was a good fit for New Mexico, but he's shown how good of a coach he is as the offensive coordinator at Alabama. But even before that, he was a great offensive coordinator at Maryland. He was a great offensive coordinator at Illinois. And I believe Mike Locksley will be the next head coach at the University of Maryland. If they don't hire him, I think they're making a mistake.
Well, he's shown it in year one. He's made a lot. I mean, he's had a lot to deal with. Of course, he's got a lot of weapons too. But you go back and look at his history, you know it better than I do. But he's a proven, very solid coach. And other schools are going to come after Alabama coaches, if not for what they can do as a coach, but just to get the recipe, to get the formula of the process of Nick Saban. And because, you know, we've seen other coaches go on and have success using, you know, a similar version of what Saban does.
All right, Mike, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back again. We're going to talk with you about some of the other bowls that will take on start a couple of weeks. We'll do that when we come back on GameDaySportsRadio.com, the Morning Blitz. There will be no tomorrow if
without you. I don't need to be free. It's your sweet.